Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
So I realize, welcome back. I realize that there are so many things I could dive into. I listened begrudgingly because I had so many appointments, doctor appointments, and so forth. This past week, I was forced to listen to a lot of conservative radio, conservative talk shows on TV, because I get serious in my car, and so sometimes it's Fox News, sometimes it's progressive or not progressive. What do you call that? Patriot. I'm sorry, Patriot Radio. There's progressive rock, but anyway, and progressive jazz. But anywho, I was listening and just infuriated, but I'm not going to get into that now because we're in the middle of content. And for the most part, I really want to get through this because when we're done, when I am finished going through this content, and before we get into Republic Review, I am going to lay it on the table for you to show you that everything we are going through, and as you watch the pages of tyranny literally get turned from one side of the book to the next, as we actually see the next layer of tyranny coming from our government, I am going to show you that our only hope and what we have to do is we've got to get our states, our state legislators, to tell the federal government enough. You're way outside the boundary, and I'm telling you, folks, there are way too many people out there that think it is okay to go to bed with the devil as long as the devil stays on his side. In other words, making political compromise in, because political compromise makes interesting bedfellows. And I am here to tell you that we have no room for compromise. You want to give the federal government that power, then you have to amend the Constitution. And we'll get through those things just after we get through this, because the next layer of content will be the vetoes, I believe. Actually, I can get into the actual schedule. Just give me a second here. But let me get through some of these obligatories. This show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions of what we have to do, period. There's no other way. And these aren't my words. These are actually Madison's words, the father of the Constitution, the guy that understood it. And these were echoed. These sentiments were echoed throughout the ratification debates. These sentiments were echoed by people that weren't even around for the ratification debates, but they were the giants of America, such as George Washington, such as Thomas Jefferson, such as, and on and on and on. I'm here to tell you, my friends, that what they are doing, they have no authority to do, and they are going to destroy you, and they don't care. They're going to destroy you, the liberty for our posterity. They do not care. So I just want you to understand that we have the opportunity to stop all of this. There may be some things that you go, well, that's going to kind of hurt. It's better to hurt than to lose everything. I am telling you, if you look through the annals of history, you will find that there are people that rather die than be enslaved to such a ruthless state. And so I was just actually talking to a person that's got a product that's coming out that we're going to kind of help a little bit with. I don't want to, muddy the waters or anything, but there's going to be a product coming out that I'm going to get behind and help, promote, as well as this Timber Nation. As a matter of fact, I think last week you heard me talk about Timber Nation. I need to create a standing promo for them, because when it comes down to providing a good quality product made in America, and I'm talking about a good, you're getting solid wood furniture. The racks that we picked up was 2 inches of solid oak. No medium board, medium density fiber board, particle board, plywood, nothing like that. Now, they may make some furniture that might have some plywood in it. I haven't seen it, but I do know that they make desks and so forth. And I would think that maybe that's what they would do, but who knows? Who knows? I haven't gone down that path, but I do know this. You need to reach out to them. If you're really looking for something that is going to be built strong, it's built to last, quality, and look beautiful with your entertainment systems, bookshelvings, or whatever it is you want, a table stand, whatever, check out Timber Nation. They're out of Pennsylvania, and it is a family-owned business, and they're being killed by taxes, just like everybody else. This kind of goes down this other tangent that I need to talk about regarding how you have to start getting involved. You have to get your businesses, everybody that need that want, if you want to keep your job, if you're working for a kind of a small business, not a big, huge multinational, you need to start getting involved and start challenging. And this is why creating constitutional counties and at least getting the framework for a constitutional county started so you can get moving. Because I believe once people start realizing that this is how they can really get involved and do tangible things to force the turning of this ship. Because I don't know if you've ever been on a... In a car or a van, and when one person kind of rocks back and forth while the car is moving, it doesn't make that big of an impact. But when you get everybody in the car rocking back and forth, you can actually destabilize that car and actually possibly cause an accident if you're throwing your bodies back and forth, you know, violently and so forth. And so what we are talking about is how we can affect collectively at the county level and forcing a shift and change of the course of this nation. We have to start rocking back and forth, and we cannot do it outside the framework of the Constitution. We have to do this within the framework of the Constitution, or it will be equally invalid. It'll be equally wrong. You'll be committing crimes when you, if you go out and protest, if you go out and do these, you know, stopping of commerce and so forth. But again, I'm going to talk very specifically once we get through this content on what's going on. And I'm just appalled. I am absolutely appalled at the people using the word Constitution so far out of context. These people are the enemies of the state. Either that or they're just so ignorant they don't even realize they're the shills, hacks, and lapdogs for the communist revolution that is happening right now. Some of these people are so oblivious to the Constitution and what is really going on that I go, you know what? I don't know if I care whether they maintain their citizenship or not. It would be in our best interest. I know it's kind of antithetical for what the framers had done, to actually take away voting rights and take away citizenship from people that really haven't earned it. They may have the birthright to it, and it may say in the Constitution that because you have this birthright, but I truly believe that you can be an American-born citizen and an enemy to the Constitution and should be removed from being able to vote in this constitutional republic. This is why I talk about the Tory acts or the Tory laws. And so actually, one of those things that we haven't even, I don't think we went brought, actually, we should have brought through that, the Tory acts and so forth, because that should have happened with the scale of liberty. And as I'm looking at what we covered so far, I see that we actually failed to cover the Tory acts regarding, and I'm going to have to put that in here, so excuse me, because I want to make sure the next time we go through this, I give you those topics, or I should say, go through the things that were occurring in building up to the Constitution and moving this ship, this beautiful nation, and this constitutional, hybrid constitutional republic on the course that it is on today. So with that, one of the things that we will be covering after we go through these resolutions is we're going to cover the 11th Amendment. We kind of missed that already. And not because by design, it's literally because as you get older, you kind of forget. And if I'm not looking at the syllabus, I will just skip over it. I just think the logical thing is. And so once we get done with this, we're going to cover the 11th Amendment and the Convention of States. And when I cover this, we're going to actually look back at the ratification debates and talk about how they defined the amendment process. And I want to be really clear on this. The reason why we want to cover the Convention of States, or I should say the Article 5 process and the process of amending, is the purpose of amending. How did they define the purpose for amending? There was never a discussion, or there was never a idea proposed out there that if the federal government started violating the Constitution, that they would use an amendment to get the federal government into compliance. I want you to, this is why we're going to go through this, because as we go through the ratification debates for you and show you how they defined it, and then the challenge is for you to go look through these ratification debates and prove me wrong. Because I'm going to look for every instance of amendment, convention, and those types of words through these documents. And I'm going to give you every instance of those that is relative to an amendment process. And you're going to find that there is no mention of using an Article 5 amendment. No mention of using an Article 5 amendment for stopping the federal government from using tyranny. This blows the argument for the Convention of States right out of the water. And the fact of the matter is, this, as well as Republic Review, should be the only alternative and the only argument against this in your state houses. But we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so, excuse me. One of the things that I need to also say is that comment line. If you want to have a discussion, if you would like to actually go into some details, you got questions, here's a perfect opportunity. We can connect. And if there's that point where you've got a comment or question that requires that kind of dialogue, I'm actually okay with it. I still need to get a hold of Charles. Forgive me, Charles, for not actually finding the time. It's just, I hope you understand. I am really busy. I am fighting Mother Nature and time itself right now, because I just don't have enough time in the day to be able to do the show and all the other things that I need to take care of. So, and they're important things. Staying alive is kind of important. So anyway, 425-270-5416. That is the comment line. You do not have to call during this show. You can call 24/7. Don't worry, you will not wake anybody up. It is just, it's really just an answering line. So if you've got any questions, then please, please give us a call, 425-270-5416, especially as we get into Republic Review. You got concerns or what have you? One of the things we kind of alluded to earlier, and I want to get back to it, and I just want to point out that the reason why we need the a canonized constitution. In other words, where all of the states agree that the organic constitution is the only constitution that is permittable in any government on the grounds of the United States and its territories. In other words, there shall be no federal property in no sovereign state of the United States or any territory of the United States. There shall be no reference or utilization regarding the Constitution and the constitutional powers, law, court, what have you, other than the organic Constitution and the canonized Constitution. In other words, take away the justices' ability for interpretation, because as these lines and clauses were defined by James Madison, John Marshall, James Iredell, James Wilson, there were a lot of Jameses, James Monroe that were in the ratification base. But and James Monroe was actually an anti-federalist because of that, none of his testimony should be attributed or counted towards the defining of the Constitution, because he was actually an opponent for the Constitution. The proponents or the Federalists are the only testimony that it should be permissible in defining and clarifying the Constitution. Because again, in the ratification process, each state rejected the anti-federalist position and they accepted the Federalist position. Hands down, it was, and that's why we have to only look at and only utilize those. It's insightful to see James Mason. Mr. Mason's views on how the militia gets destroyed and all of those things. It's very insightful. But everything he was asserting had nothing to do with things within the Constitution. It had everything to do with how they violated the Constitution to do so. And that's what you have to be wary of, because they said this Constitution will allow this to occur. Well, actually, it's not the Constitution. The fact is, it was the government violating, because it was clearly defined that they couldn't do those things, that this is the only thing they can do. And so when they started doing those things that destroyed this or perverted that, then there you have it. It's not that it was done constitutionally. It was done as a violation to the Constitution. And one of the big things that they kept on saying is, it doesn't matter, whether we give them power. Because even now, with the inept power that they have under the Articles of Confederation, they're still violating it. It doesn't matter. We have to give the power that is necessary for us to succeed. And then we have to be vigilant in keeping the federal government in check. And so there it is right there, folks. The states were not vigilant. There was too much trust. There was way too much trust in those people who were going into the federal system as, you'll call them, politicians or representatives or whatever the positions they were filling. So anyway, back to this Constitution and the importance of it. It is the same thing as the Catholic Church and the Bible. There were years and years, centuries, where the people lived in the dark without the Word of God. They were not allowed to have the Word of God. The Catholic Church would print out and hand them the pieces of information, the scriptures that they wanted them to have, and they did that to control and manipulate the masses. it was realized that they needed to have the full view of the scriptures, and this was one of those things that actually drove King James to canonize the Bible so that mankind could move forward. And when that happened, my friends, if you look at the beginning of the Enlightenment era, that was a big part of it. I mean, Enlightenment was actually beginning before that. Enlightenment begins when people start waking up and realizing, hey, we're slaves. And America needs enlightenment today because we're already slaves. The collar and the shackles on our feet and hands have not been secured and locked. When the states give away our Constitution, it's done. This is why the awakening is still a viable option, and the taking back of our Constitution, not only viable, if we don't do it, we will rue the day. It is that clear, that simple. So let me get into where we left off. We're in Madison's report on the Virginia resolutions of 1800. He did this report in 1800, about a year plus beyond, because it was January, and they did the, actually, it was 2 years. Because the Virginia resolutions were done in December of 98. So in January of 1800, actually just a little over a year. Yeah, I was right. I was right the first time. Just a little over a year, Madison finally sits down and pens this argument. And one of the things we already covered was how saliently and how emphatically he points out that the only parties to the compact are the states, not the federal government at all. And so he's clearly laying it on the table here that only the states are the judges and jury. But the key word is states. And he doesn't emphasize the plurality of states as well as he does when we hit the notes on nullification of 1834 from Madison. Madison, because people still haven't gotten it, he goes through an 18-page discourse on, you know, explaining the merits of the Virginia resolutions and the Kentucky resolutions and the intent, the true intent of what they were trying to do. So as we move through this, one of the things we're going to hit is how Madison clarifies and knocks off the table the judiciary, the judicial branch of the federal government, how they have no say whatsoever over the compact of things not delegated. Their limitations are only those things within the Constitution and those things that are in pursuant or in harmony with the powers granted. So in other words, if the federal government grants itself a power, that doesn't mean that because it's not an enumerated power within the Constitution, the federal court has no jurisdiction over this. Now, one of the things I will be getting into, and I, you know, want to make sure that you understand what we're doing in other areas, is we are covering these efforts, and you hear me typing, we are covering efforts in Iowa, or not Iowa, in South Dakota, my bad. In South Dakota, what we're doing is we're covering these efforts in South Dakota and how to, you know, stop this evil and how to get people to start rocking at the county level and so forth. But more importantly, what we want to help you understand is how we can actually constrain the court from ever being able to pull these things in. So, in other words, as we go into state courts and get state rulings, and the state court basically says that because, and the state legislature, sorry, I'm getting a little tongue-tied, the state legislature draws the line and says, if it is not enumerated based on this definition, based on this canonized Constitution, if it is not enumerated in the Constitution, then the federal government has no jurisdiction. In so doing, we stop them from being able, because as we get enough states on board with this, we take away their ability to take on debt. We take away their ability to operate the Federal Reserve. You know, everybody wants to audit the Federal Reserve. What good would that do? oh, well, we're calling you out. It's completely unconstitutional in the first place. Auditing actually validates it. And you can't tell me that the Pauls, Ron and Rand, do not understand that when you actually go out there and say, you know, we're going to audit you, that only further legitimizes that unconstitutional organization. This is why I've always been against those things. We cannot legitimize any further unconstitutional acts because we can't. The only way to truly legitimize anything that the federal government is doing is through the Article 5 process to grant them that power. If it has not been granted from the Article 5 process, then it is illegitimate, and therefore it must be surrendered and dismantled and disbanded by the demands of the states. The states have to demand compliance to their Constitution, which is what Republic Review is all about, which is what Madison and Jefferson were doing. So we'll be right back reading the content from the report of the Virginia Resolutions. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so where are we? We're in paragraph 21. We just wrapped up paragraph 20. So if you don't know when I'm talking about paragraphs and you go back and listen to this, what you do is you go online and you actually just cut and paste the content, the entire manuscript of the text that Madison wrote here in this report, put it into a Word document, and then go up and put numbers, just click on the numbers sign of numbering the paragraphs. That easy. Now you actually have, for citing purposes, if you want to cite something, now you can actually, you know, see the paragraph number, say in paragraph 22, this is what Madison said. And so that way, if anybody tries to refute you, you've actually put it right there on the table what the hard, cold facts are, because right there, there it is. Instead of taking my word for it, instead of letting GR tell you what they said, this is why I kill you with my bad enunciations and my, anyway, with my trials in trying to improve my oral reading skills, especially with a old-style vernacular or use of language that they had back then. So anyway, let's get into paragraph 21. But the resolution has done more than guard against misconstruction by expressly referring to cases of deliberate, palpable, and dangerous nature. So, palpable, that is a word that means blatant. In other words, it is a deliberate, tangible, physical, profound, substantial act that has been done. And so, and dangerous, something of a dangerous nature. He goes on and says, it specifies the object of the interposition. In other words, it specifies the necessity of interposing, which it contemplates to be solely that of arresting the progress of the evil usurpation. Arresting, what does that mean? Well, we know what arrest means. It means to stop and put away and get rid of the progress of evil. He's referring to this perversion of our Constitution as evil. You know, can't put it any clearer, right? I mean, if you really start looking at it, it is evil. If this is the law, we're a nation of laws, and all of a sudden we're outright violating the law and outright doing anything and everything we want to do. This is why previously in an earlier segment today, I mentioned that we cannot accept any compromise. Compliance is the only way forward. We must live by the laws of the land, and in so doing, we will find tranquility, we will find happiness, we will find peace, not only as a nation, but as a world, because we've also opened up to you your eyes to see that as the world wants to basically bask in a nation of liberty and in a state of liberty, then clearly, as they want to come forward, we should be able and we should actually allow them to become states, not necessarily to, you know, grant them into citizenship and grant them into statehood. They have to go through that Moses 40 days or 40 years in the wilderness or whatever the transition is so that they speak the language, they're practicing the laws, they have the currency, they are aligned in every way culturally with the American values of liberty and so forth. And in so doing, we will actually get rid of, because if you look at if we didn't have the UN and every state in the Union, or every state in the world slowly came into the United States one at a time, and they actually went through the process of becoming a state and actually became, because you know as well as I do, immigrants typically, for some unknown reason, they typically appreciate the freedoms that they have here more so than the people that have been born here for years and years, and we just take it for granted. I am telling you, we're going to only strengthen American values, but allowing this invasion to continue as the way it's going, it is destroying us. But anywho, so as Madison is pointing out, that based on the danger, based on the deliberate and substantial danger that they're creating, or these violations that they are violating the Constitution on, specifies the object or the necessity and the level of the interposition, the intensity of the interposition. Folks, this needs to be an all-out, not only firm, this has to be arresting and absolute interposition enforcing full compliance. Because he goes on and says, if you understand, it specifies the object or the absolution of what we need to do right now on interposition, which it contemplates to be solely that of arresting the progress of evil, of usurpation, and of maintaining the authorities' rights and liberties appertaining to the states as parties to the Constitution. Again, he's saying parties. He's not emphasizing plural, but he is using, and every time he points out in 1834, he says, every time I use this, I am speaking in the plural sense. Paragraph 22. From this view of the resolution, it would seem inconvincible that it can incur any just disapprobation, approbation, approbation, not a lot of people use these types of words, but anyway, it can incur any just disapprobation from those who, laying aside all monetary impressions and recollecting the genuine source of object of the federal Constitution, shall candidly and accurately interpret the meaning of the General Assembly. If the deliberate exercise of dangerous powers palpably withheld by the Constitution could not justify the parties to it in interposing even so far as to arrest the progress of evil and thereby to preserve the Constitution itself as well as to provide for the safety of the parties to it, there would be an end to all relief from usurped power and a direct subversion of the rights specified or recognized under the state constitutions, as well as a plain denial of fundamental principles on which our independence itself was declared. Now, I want you to understand something, because I think some people kind of miss this, and I don't emphasize this enough. Look at how far we have gone with this these violations of the Constitution. Look at how far outside the framework of the Constitution the federal government is operating. And I tell you, my friends, that this is such a divine document that even to today, with as far as it has gone, when everybody I talk to says it's all lost, and I point out to them the fact that it's actually not lost, we still have the power necessary to pull this back in, because the states still exist and the states have all authority necessary. And the divine nature of this Constitution, only as far as I'm concerned, it proves that the genetic DNA of the divine hand of providence within this document, the clarity and the vision and the insights, this all came from the divine hand of providence. There's just no doubt in my mind, because we have a document that actually gives us everything we need, along with all of these words speaking from the dust, from Madison, Jefferson, all of these great framers that actually accounted and documented and clarified the terms of this Constitution. I'm not talking about all these other little, you know, ancillary history notes and so forth. I am very specific here. I am talking about the Constitution and how it was defined and how Madison and Jefferson went through these processes, and they gave us the bread trail crumb. A trail of breadcrumbs. How about that? Anyway, I'm sorry. It's not that I'm, you know, all scatterhead today. It's just that, you know, there are a lot of things that we want to get through. So let me just continue on this, because I see the exigencies, the urgency of getting these things done and why we have to do this. And as I read these things, I'm going through my mind, how come I can't get state legislators to read these things? How come I can't get them to become the leaders? We're getting some, but we're not getting enough. If they truly, folks, you need to demand that they understand these resolutions and Republic Review. It's that simple. But it is objected. Now, here it is, 23, and this is where Madison actually just uses his backhand and his, you know, forehand, going back and forth, slapping across the face of America and you know, wake up. This is the truth here, that the federal courts have no jurisdiction. And so this is where he gets into it. But it is objected that the judicial authority is to be regarded as the sole expositor of the Constitution in the last resort. And it may be asked for what reason the declaration by the General Assembly, supposing it to be theoretically true, could be required at the present day and in so solemn a manner. On this objection, it might be observed first that there may be instances of usurped power, which the forms of the Constitution would never draw within the control of the judicial department. Secondly, that if the decision of the judiciary, and so we're going into a break. So what we'll do is I'm going to start this off again from the top of the judiciary in paragraph 23, and we're just kind of rip through this in the next segment. so that it's all together, because this is all about how the federal courts have no jurisdiction. We're going to be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, focusing on the content and trying to editorialize a little less, back to paragraph 23. But it is objected that the judicial authority is to be regarded as the sole expositor of the Constitution in the last resort. And it may be asked for what reason the declaration by the General Assembly, supposing it to be theoretically true, could be required at the present day and in so solemn a manner. On this objection, it might be observed, first, that there may be instances of usurped power which the forms of the Constitution would never draw within the control of the judicial department. Secondly, that if the decision of the judiciary be raised above the authority of the sovereign parties to the Constitution, the decisions of the other departments not carried by the forms of the Constitution before the judiciary must be equally authoritative and final with the decisions of that department. But the proper answer to the objection is that the resolution of the General Assembly relates to those great and extraordinary cases in which all the forms of the Constitution may prove ineffectual against infractions dangerous to the essential rights of the parties to it. The resolution supposes that dangerous powers not delegated not only be usurped and executed by the other departments, but the judicial department also may exercise or sanction dangerous powers beyond the grant of the Constitution, and consequently, that the ultimate right of the parties to the Constitution to judge whether the compact has been dangerously violated must extend to violations by one delegated authority as well as by another, by the judiciary as well as by the executive or the legislature. He's just basically said right there, folks, that not only can the president or Congress violate the Constitution, but so can the judiciary. And when it comes down to such dangerous powers and infractions that are essential to the rights of the parties to that compact, the states, that then only the states can actually be the judges. They cannot. This is why I put it to you in this perspective. Every time you step into a federal court, and that federal court has no jurisdiction, you have surrendered your sovereignty, Mr. State, Mr. U.S. citizen. You have to hold the line and say, you have no jurisdiction. Prove to me in the organic constitution or through the amendments to it, or through the definitions of the ratification debates, or any other formal document from the framers describing the Constitution, such as this document right here. And this is why I try to stick to only formal documents. I'm making an exception with Madison's resolutions of 1834. I usually don't include them, but I'm going to, just due to the fact that the emphasis is so powerful that I have to include these, because the father of the Constitution, you make that kind of exception. Okay, this isn't something he did in an official capacity, but it is something that is consistent with everything he had been stating from 1798, 1800, and then to 1834, and he clarifies, and he holds his ground. That's why that man, there's no doubt in my mind, he did more for this nation in ensuring that the Lord's Constitution was understood the way it needed to be. And this is why I say, this is his voice speaking from the dust. So on into paragraph 25. However true, therefore, it may be that the judicial department is, in all questions submitted to it by the forms of the Constitution to decide in the last resort, this resort must necessarily be deemed the last in relation to the authorities of the departments of the government, not in relation to the rights of the parties to the constitutional compact, from which the judicial, as well as the other departments, hold their delegated trust. In other words, these three departments, the judiciary, the executive, and Congress, or the legislative, they get their delegated trust. They get their parties from this granted or delegated power. In other words, without these delegated powers, they have no power. Remember, the Articles of Confederation gave the Continental Congress, the federal government, or whatever you want to call the general government at the time, they only had very limited powers, which is why they had to go through the Constitution to give them the necessary powers. And that was it. So moving on, Madison says, on any other hypothesis, the delegation of judicial power would annul the authority delegating it, and the concurrence of this department with the others in usurped powers might subvert forever and beyond the possible reach of any rightful remedy the very Constitution which all were instituted to preserve. Now, this, I believe, is a short sight that I see in Madison, because I don't think Madison understood, how long this was going to go and how long this was going to take. And I don't think he understood how vast the republic would become. And so, because he thought that once they annulled, once they started going so far outside of the Constitution, that everything would be destroyed. Because he uses the words might subvert forever. Might subvert. Okay, so I'm giving him credit because he's using the word not might. Might, not will. Might subvert forever and beyond the possible reach of any rightful remedy. This is why I kind of pointed out earlier how the Lord's DNA is in this, because we can clearly see as far as they've gone and as far outside the framework of the Constitution they're operating today, we can still get them into full compliance, because we still have the full power on that Constitution, and they will have to basically come right out publicly and telling people, we're not following this Constitution anymore, and let the states wake up by those words and actions. Because I'm telling you, when the states start asserting their authority, and you have such a petulant and such a disgusting and repugnant leader like Biden and Pelosi and all of these people that will actually just poke you in the eye with evil, And when I say this, I mean that they are actually going to say, we don't look at the Constitution the way you do, and we don't need to anymore. We've changed everything. And this is like Baghdad Bob saying in complete denial that, you know, we don't fear you because the power truly comes from the states. And this is exactly what Madison was saying, that their authority comes from us. And we can clean house, we can get rid of all of them just like that. And yeah, that would cause possibly a constitutional crisis, but actually I think it would be a constitutional timeout, because wouldn't it be good if all of a sudden the federal government couldn't be spending any money and we're now getting rid of all of these people and the states are getting, you know, supposedly due, or I should say, reasonably fit politicians to fill these positions so that they can go and clean up, drain the swamp, and get rid of all of this unconstitutional government, such as even the city of D.C. and its government, because that is unconstitutional. Congress, if they want to have a city government, they actually have to amend the Constitution and getting rid of their exclusive legislative authority. And they're not going to do that, because that's the one little place where they can, as George Mason says, where they can stir their cauldron of evil. Anyway, moving on. Paragraph 26. The truth declared in the resolution being established, the expediency of making the declaration at the present day may safely be left to the temperate consideration and candid judgment of the American public. It will be remembered that a frequent recurrence to fundamental principles is solemnly enjoined by most of the state constitutions, and particularly by our own, as a necessary safeguard, the danger of degeneracy to which republics are liable, as well as other governments through a less degree than others. And a fair comparison of the political doctrines not unfrequent at the present day with those which characterize the epoch, the beginning of our revolution, and which from the basis of the Republican constitutions will best determine whether the declaratory recurrence here made to those principles ought to be viewed as unseasonable and improper or as a vigilant discharge of an important duty. The authority of the constitutions over governments and of the sovereignty of the people over constitutions are truths which are at all times necessary to be kept in mind, and that no time perhaps more necessary than the present. And he says that back then. And I'm here to tell you that there is even more urgency and even more necessity of keeping in mind the authority over the constitutions of the governments. And when it comes to the state governments, it's we the people need to take our states back. And it's the states, our state legislatures, the representatives of we the people need to take the federal government back and get it into alignment. Now, I've got less than a minute, and there's paragraph 27, and I don't have the time to get through this. So what we'll do is we'll read paragraph 27, and then we're going to jump into the notes on nullification. I try not to do a long monologue in the upcoming segments because I do want to get into the current day. I've said these things. You've heard me say these things of what's going on, what they're doing in D.C., and what's going on around America. I am here to tell you that Republic Review and what Madison is talking about here with these interposition is everything we need to do to save us. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small.
Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.